If you take a look at the last line on Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis, Omar Ula. Now, just let's make one point from the previous Daf, and that is the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, before we start on Beis Amid Aleph, because that's going to be relevant to us today. And we're talking about what's called Yedios Machalkos. So that Rabbi Yochanan Shita is that if a person violates an entire series of Chiyuvei Chatos, one after the other, but he finds out about each one separately, that's called Yedios Machalkos. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he's going to have to bring a separate Chatos for each one. So he finds out about the earlier, let's say, Achilas Chelev, and then he finds out about a later Chiluv Chelev. He needs a new Kapara, new Chatos for each Yediyah, because the Yediyah separates it. Just like we discussed, if you remember last week, Malachos Machalkos, and we'll get back to that again. So too we have Halacha according to Rabbi Yochanan of Yediyos Machalkos. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish disagrees. And he holds that as long as he hasn't brought the Korban Chatos, even if he finds out about different Chiyuvei Chatos separately, one after the other, he could bring one Chatos for all his Karbonos, for all his violations. Now, Ula is going to analyze the case of a Korban Asham. So let's just say a few words about a Korban Asham. I'll give three examples. There's something called an asham me'ilos. So if a person has hegdesh and he benefits from the hegdesh, let's say he has a piece of food or a loaf of bread that's hegdesh and he eats it, he brings a korban asham. Another example would be asham gzelos. Let's say he denied someone's claim against him and he took a shvua to support his claim, and then we find out that he lied under oath. He has to bring a korban asham. Then there's a case of an asham shivcha charufa, and that's a woman who's a shivcha knanis, who is owned by two partners, and one partner freed his half. He was meshachar what he owned in the shivcha, so she's left with a situation of being a half a shivcha, half a baschorin. And if a Jewish man would have a relationship with this woman, he's not chayav kares, because in this case, she's not a married woman. But nevertheless, he brings a korban asham. Now, when we get to korban asham, we have to make a fundamental distinction between two categories of korban asham. There's an asham vadai and an asham tolui. The classic case of an asham tolui would be a person ate a piece of what looks like fat. He thought it was shuman, but it turns out to be chalev. But he's not sure. He never got a yediyah to be absolutely certain that he ate chalev. If he gets such a yediyah, then obviously he's chayav achatos. But in the suffix situation, where he doesn't know one way or the other, he has to bring what's called an asham tolui. Now, we're going to learn a machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva in Masechta Krisus. That machlokes, let's start with Rabbi Tarfon Shita. Asham is very unique. Why? Because the carbon of an asham tolui and a carbon asham vadai, when he's certain about the violation, is identical. That's not true in a case, for example, of a chatos, because a chatos has to do with bringing a kizba, a female animal. An asham brings a male animal, a ram. So what happens is, says Rabbi Tarfon, since the karban, asham tolui, if let's say he's not sure if he did eat hegdesh or he ate chulin, he couldn't be sure about the identity of the meat. Is he chayav an asham me'ilus? Is he not? He brings a karban asham tolui. Tolui means he's in doubt. Rabbi Tarfon says that he can make the following condition. He could stipulate that I'm bringing this carbon in such a way that it should serve as a kapara for one of two possibilities. Either for a safek, if I never find out whether I ate the hegdesh or not, or in event that I'll find out some point in the future that enochinami, that I ate a piece of hegdesh, then let this be a carbon asham, not an asham toli, but an asham vadai. And the only reason he can make such a condition is because the carbon is identical, whether it's a carbon asham whether it's an asham toli or an asham vadai, it's the same. It's the same male ram that he's going to bring on the mizbeach for a kapara. So he can make a condition. And he can say the following: I'm bringing this carbon right now in Besafik. I don't know if I ate Hegdesh or if I ate Basar Chulin. Let this be a carbon Asham Talui. But if in the future I do find out that this is a carbon, that this is definitely Hegdesh, that the meat that I ate is definitely Hegdesh, let this carbon serve as a carbon Asham Vadai. Now, Me'ilos require not just a carbon, but you also have to bring it what's called a chomesh. You have to pay Hegdesh 100% plus another 20%. So he says, you know what? I don't know if I ate the Hegdesh. I didn't eat the Hegdesh. I'm going to consecrate another 20% and mimanafshach. If I don't find out, so I'm only chayv a carbon. That's called a carbon asham tolui. Let this money be a gift, a donation to Hegdesh. If, on the other hand, I will find out in the future that I am chayav a carbon asham vadai, somebody will notify me that the meat that I ate was indeed basar hegdesh, let that money be for the keren v'chomesh they have to pay when I accompany my kapara with the carbon asham of asham me'ilos. This is the shita of Rabbi Tarfon. I think we'll appreciate this more when I present to you the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says that even though a carbon asham toli and a carbon asham vadei are the identical carbon, nevertheless, they're two separate carbonos in terms of the kapara power. And when you brought that carbon asham toli, you were lacking a yediyah. You only bring a carbon asham after your yediyah. The Torah says, O hoda elav chatoso, in the parish of Kaparas Karbon. You didn't know about it. There's no way that you can bring a carbon and call it a carbon asham vadai without yediyah. Rabbi Tarfon, on the other hand, is of the opinion that yediyah is secondary. That in the case of carbon asham, whether you have that yediyah or not, since the carbon is identical, you can bring this carbon, and it's going to be mechaper, even though you right now you don't have a yediyah, you're in a suffix situation for the future. And this is very similar to the view of Reish Lakish. The Gemara is going to try to see if we can make a connection, because Reish Lakish on Daf Ayin Aleph, Amid Beis, was of the opinion that if he violates Chelev time after time after time, and then he finds out about each Achilas Chelev individually in a sequence, he could bring one Karban Chatas for all of them, even though he had a yediyah in between each Achilas Karban. Once again, we see in Reish Lakish that yediyah is a secondary requirement. Okay, I mean, again, this is all an introduction to a long daf. So I, if you have any, you know, pressing questions, this is a time to ask.
Can you have one korban can be for two different ideas, according to Rabbi Tarfon.
Yeah, again, it's only for the same Avera in this case. In other words, either he ate the Hegdesh or he didn't eat the Hegdesh. But there are two separate carbonos. There's one carbon because of Safek, that's called an Asham Tolu, another Asham Vadei. Says Rabbi Tarfon, he can kill two birds with one stone. even though at this point he doesn't know for sure that he ate chaylev, that he ate hegdesh, but nevertheless, he can make this t'nai that if I find out that in the future that I indeed ate hegdesh, let this karban serve as a karban asham vadai. And again, it's only possible because it's the same identical karban. In a case, for example, of chaylev, he can't bring, let's say he doesn't know if he ate shuman or chaylev.
I was going to ask that.
So then it's not going to work, even according to Rabbi Tarfon. He can't make a t'nai that if I find out that indeed I ate chaylev, let this be a karban chatos. Because asham and chatos are two different karbanos. Asham is brought from a male karban, and a chatos is brought from a female karban. Again, there are a lot more details that I'm obfuscating now. But you'll have to trust me that asham and chatos are two separate karbanos. Rabbi Tarfon is only allowing you with one karban to be mechaper in the absence of a yediyah. Because even though right now at this point you don't have a yediyah, the karban can still be brought as a karban asham, classical asham vadai, without the yediyah. And that's what Ula is going to build a lot on this Rabbi Tarfon. Let's read Ula inside. Amar Ula lemandi amar asham vade lo ba yediyah b'tchila, according to Rabbi Tarfon in Masechta Krisus, who holds that you can bring a karban asham that'll serve as an asham vadai, even though at this point in time he has no yediyah, is therefore, and here we turn to the daf for today, Ayin Beis Amid Aleph, Rashi Tevis Azariah Berzon, right? Baal Chamesh Be'ilos B'Shivcha Charufa. You remember that we said that there is a case of an asham for a Be'ila of a Shivcha Charufa. Now he violated this five times over. Five times over he had Be'ila with a Shivcha Charufa. And now he finds out about these five different Be'ilos. Eino chayev ela acha, says Ula. He only brings one karban, one asham, for all five be'ilos. And the reason for that is because even if he would have different yedios, he would find out about the first be'ila, and then he finds out about the second be'ila. After all, every moment that he finds out about the be'ila, he didn't realize that this was a shivcha charufa, for example. The moment he finds out about it, he is chayav a karban asham shivcha charufa. And now he finds out about another bila, and another bila, and another bila. Says Ula, let's apply the logic of Rabbi Tarfon. Just like Rabbi Tarfon says that there are two karbanos asham, but since they're the identical karban, you could have one karban that will be mechaper even though he brought that karban before he had the yediyah, and the yediyah plays a secondary role. Here also, even if he has different yediyos, it doesn't matter. It's all the same karban, because each be'ila generates a chiyuv kapara in an identical way, which is called asham shivcha charufa. Maskif le Rav Hemnuna, Rav Hemnuna says elamiyata. Wait a second. Let's see, how far, Ula, are you willing to go with this? Baal v'chazar u'baal v'hifrish karban v'yomar hamtinu liad she'evol is hachinami di'eno chayv ala achas. Rabbi Tarfon is sort of analyzing the mindset of Ula, the logic of Ula. How far, Ula, are you willing to go? Would you be willing to claim, Ula, that even if he was, let's say, mafrish the karban, so he had X number of be'ilos with a shivcha charufa, he takes an animal, let's say a male ram, and he designates it for a karban asham. He doesn't even know about the next be'ila. Not only that, maybe even he didn't even have that next be'ila. But before he brought the karban on the mizbeach, he had another be'ila. Should we say that even in this case, one karban could be chal for all of his be'ilos because it's the same identical karban? Amar lei. So Ula says, wait a minute, I didn't go that far of him, Nuna. Maisa diliachar afrosha lo kayimna. I never addressed the case where he not only had a yediyah, but he went one step further and he designated a korban. Once he had the yediyah and he finds out, oh, that woman was a shivcha charufa, and he had already designated the korban, that korban is forever sealed with the definitely incarcerated. You know, it's set in motion for that particular avera. Now he does another be'ila. He can't be mechaper with the first karban because he already designated that karban. Meaning, what Rav Hamnuna thought was maybe we could go a step further, and Ula pointed out to him, no, I don't go that far. Meaning, although Rabbi Tarfon was talking about a case of Yediyah, and he told me that Yediyah is secondary, but that's fine. But if you add Afrasha into the element, and again, this really requires us to go over the Gemara and Daf Ayin Aleph, but whatever it is, you'll have to take it as a Chazara for what's on Ayin Aleph, that once you are Mafresh a Karbon, that Karbon, in terms of its power of Kapara, is limited, it's restricted, it's designated exclusively to that kapara, to the kapara for that particular avera for which you amafrish the karban. And therefore, don't equate the case where Ula says that if he had different be'ilos and then he found out about each be'ila separately, don't equate that with a case where he went ahead and he was mafresh after the yediyah. Ula was only talking about a case where he had the yediyah savera. He knew, and he found out about the be'ila of this particular shivcha rufa, and he was, he hasn't yet done anything actively. All he has is the yediyah. So that's Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says that yediyah is secondary, so to speak. It doesn't play a major role in Karban Asham. But now you Rabbi Avnuna, you want to take me a step further, and you want to say that not only did he have a yediyah about this particular bila, but he went ahead, he was mafresh the Karban. That's already the point of no return. That's already too late. You can't be mafresh a karban for one avera and then do another avera and have the same afrasha being chal for the second avera. The afrasha closes it up. It locks it up. Oh, that's the word I wanted to use. It locks it up. Kios Rav Dimi. And Rabosai, again, I'm apologizing that I am really oversimplifying a very complicated sugya, and I'll tell you why. Because when we get to Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, that's where I want to start. Because the sugya on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, which I'm dying to get to, is going to project us for a long time. And if we don't use this day, and that's all we have is this day to analyze that sugya on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, we're going to be in Gehakta Tzaras. So really what we're doing today is just a tag on to yesterday's Daf, a Daf Ayin Aleph. So again, I'm apologizing up front. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar. Rav Dimi was the one who brought, together with Ravin, all the Shmuels from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And he said, Laman di Amar Asham Vadai Boy Yedivitri. Now we're going back to Rabbi Akiva's position that you cannot bring a Karban Asham Talui before he and have it Machaper for a, as if it were an Asham Vadai before the Yediyah. He's got to have the Yediyah. Right now he doesn't know. Did he eat Hegdesh? Did he not eat Hegdesh? Any carbon that you bring now, namely you have to bring a carbon Asham Talui, that cannot be effective for afterwards, for after he finds out about the Yediyah. It's therefore, Baal Chamesh Be'ilos B'Shivcha Charufa, Chayav al kol achas v'yachas. Okay, chayav al kol achas v'yachas. Excuse me for just 1 second. Sorry. Is Baal Chamesh Be'ilos B'Shivcha Charufa chayav al kol achas viachas. What happens now is that Rav Dimi is drawing the next conclusion from everything we've said until now, that you can have one carbon asham for many be'ilos, even though he had yedios machalkos. That's according to Rabbi Tarfon. But according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that yedia is absolutely critical for a carbon asham, then if he finds out about each one of these five be'ilos of a shivcha charufa separately at different times, then each one of those yedios is machalek. It sets up a definite boundary and a barrier between that be'ila and the next be'ila that he finds out about. Omalei Abaye. So Abaye turns to Rav Dimi and he says the following. Harei chatos de be'inon yediyah b'tchila upligi Rav Yochanan v'reish lokish, Rav Shimben lokish. Oh, we had a machlokes, as we mentioned earlier, between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, in a case where a person eats chalef, and he eats chalef, and he eats chalef, over and over again. And he had a yediyah, after he finishes five, let's say five kezesim of chalef, he has a yediyah on the first kezias, a yediyah on the second kezias, etc. Rabbi Yochanan says that he has to bring a separate chatos for each achila. That's because Rabbi Yochanan holds yediyos mechalkos. Reish Lakish says no. He could bring one chatos for all the different achilos of chalev. This despite the fact that he found out about each chalev independently, right? The mechayev of a karbon in a case of shogeg is yediya. The Torah says, vishav mi yediyaso. So Rabbi Yochanan says, well, as soon as he finds out about one particular chalev, that's it. He has to bring a karbon for that chalev. He finds out about another achilas chalev, he's got to bring another carbon, a separate carbon. Reish Lakish says, no, yedios are secondary. No, if yedios are secondary, then what you told us, Rav Dimi, that you have to bring a separate carbon asham for each one of the be'ilos, because he had different yedios between each one, different yedios for each one of the be'ilos, that doesn't work out according to Reish Lakish. Because, you know, the machlokes Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish should be independent of the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, so that whatever you tell me about Rabbi Akiva Rav Dimi should be tolerable, or reconcilable, if you will, with both Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Shimon ben Lakish. How are you going to reconcile yourself with Rav Shimon ben Lakish ishtik? And at this point, nothing crossed the mind of Rav Dimi. You know, he was contemplating. Amalei Sarbaye himself offers the answer for Rav Dimi. And Rav Dimi is going to be very satisfied about that. Dilma b'maise d'li achar afrosha ka'amrit ukir Rav Hemnuna. So we had a sheet of Rav Hemnuna, and Rav Hemnuna said that there's a fundamental difference between yediya and hafrosha. When do we say that you could bring one carbon? According to, again, I'm going to mention Rabbi Tarfon, I mean, according to those who de-emphasize yediya, they put yediya on a secondary level, they would hold that you could bring one carbon for multiple violations. That's only if he had a yediya without afrosha. But if he had a yediya plus afrosha, then even Rav Hemnuna would agree that there's no way you could bring one carbon for many afrashos. Why? Because it was one afrasha for that carbon, another afrasha for another carbon. You can't kill two birds with one stone once there was one afrasha. And therefore, if Rav Dimi accepts, and the Gemara is assuming that he does, and Rav Dimi is going to confirm this, that when we say that you can bring that whether or not you have to bring multiple korbanos depends upon whether you had a yediyah between and the machlokis about what's the significance and the status of yedios. If you hold that yedios are primary and they set up the chiyuv, they clinch the chiyuv, and they complete the chiyuv, then you're going to have to bring multiple karbonos if you had multiple yedios. But if you hold that yedios is secondary, then one karbon could be chal for all of them. And now you want to know about Reish Lakish. The answer is, what happens if he had not only yedios mechalkos, but he had a separate afrasha? And here, even Reish Lakish would agree that if he went ahead after his yedia and he designated the karbon, that closes and locks in that karbon. Amalei in, and Rav Dimi is very happy, and he says, that's exactly what I had in mind. Kiyasa Ravin, right, until now we had Kiyasa Rav Dimi. As I told you, there were two greats who brought, you know, from Rabbi Yochanan's yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, brought all the shmuas and halachas to Bava. So he said, Hakol modem v'shiv charufa, Hakol modem v'shiv charufa, u'machlokes v'shiv charufa. Very strange. Three statements, and each one contradicts the other. On the one hand, he says everybody agrees in the case of Shiv Charufa. And then he repeats himself. Hakol modim, obviously in another case, b'shiv Charufa. And then he says machlokes b'shiv Charufa. So is it something that everybody agrees to, or is it a machlokes? The Gemara explains. Hakol modim b'shiv Charufa di'eno chayev ela achas kide'ula. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish would both agree that in the case of a carbon asham, he would not have to bring multiple carbonos because he had separate yedios, kida ula, based on the logic of ula. And that is because if we hold like Rabbi Tarfon, it means that in a case of a carbon asham, like that of Shiv Charufa, where the carbon is identical, then he could bring one carbon for many violations. Vakol modem b'shiv charufa dechayev al kol achas v'yachas. Okay, so here was the first hakol modem is that he brings one chatas, one asham for all the various be'ilos. Now we have another point where everybody agrees that in the case of shiv charufa, he's got to bring separate karbonos asham k'rav hemnuna. In a case where he was mafresh the carbon, and even Reish Lakish would agree that once he was mafresh the carbon, then he has to bring a separate carbon asham. Umachlokes b'shivcha charufa, and what is going to be the machlokes in shivcha charufa? Lemandi omar asham vaday boy yediyah b'tchila. If you're going to hold like Rabbi Akiva, who says that you can't bring a carbon asham tolui, and generate a kapara for the future when he finds out that it was really hegdish that he ate and he needs an asham vadai. Is now we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan is going to tell you that since yedia plays less significant of a role, and therefore according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that yedia plays a primary role, and we have halach of yedios mechalkos, is therefore, just like Rabbi Akiva said, in general, when it comes to Karban Asham, that you need a Yediyah, and without the Yediyah, it's nothing. And you can't bring a Karban before that Yediyah, and that Karban before the Yediyah could never be Mechaper for after the Yediyah. And that's called Leman Diomer Asham Vaday Boy Yediyah Tchila, just because he thought, maybe I'll find out about it in a certainty, therefore I can bring this carbon, and it'll be a chaper for the future after yediyah. No, says Rabbi Akiva, we need the yediyah straight up. And therefore, we can apply the logic of Rabbi Yochanan. Let's say, for example, if a man eats chalev, and then he eats chalev again, and he finds out about the first chalev, and then he finds out about the second chalev, then the first yediyah sets up a locked-in chiyuv carbon to be mechaper for that achilas chalev, which was subsequently fulfilled or completed with his yediyah. And that makes a lot of sense, because Rabbi Akiva, as we saw in the case of Asham, requires yediyah, And Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that in the case of Chatos, likewise, we have to require a Yediyah. And the Yediyah is very important. And that Yediyah is going to generate a halach of Yediyos Mechalkos. But according to Rav Shim ben Lakish, he holds that if you violate chalef multiple times, and you find that about each chalef independently, but you aren't mafresh the korban, then you could bring one chatas for all the different violations. He's going to tell you that although in the case of Rabbi Akiva in korban asham, there we need a yediyah tchila, but that's only in order to set up a chiyuv korban. In my case, says Reish Lakish, where he had a yediyah, but then he had another yediyah, and another yediyah, and another yediyah, and he hasn't yet been mafresh the karban, then one karban chatos could count for all the different violations of chelev. Itmar, now Rabosa, we begin a major, major sugya. In Masechta Shabbos, the sugya that we're about to embark upon has implications all over the show. And we're on now, Daf Ayin Beis, Amid Beis. We're going to learn a machlokes between Abai Varova about the concept called Misasek. Again, if I had a whiteboard, write it down if you can. Mem, Tov, Ayin, Samach, Kuf. Misasek. What is Misasek? That's going to be the machlokes here between Abai Varova. The only thing you have to know up front is that Misasek is potter from a karban. There's Ones, potter from a karban. There's Shogeg, chay of a karban. And then there's Misasek, which does not generate a karban, even though he was not Ones, there's no karban for Misasek. But what is Misasek? So the beginning of this sugya is the simple case that everybody agrees is Misasek. Niskavin like Bias HaTolush. It's Shabbos. And his knife is on the ground. And he stretches to lift up his knife. And his knife is Tolush, meaning there's no prohibition on Shabbos against lifting up his knife. On the way up, as he's lifting his knife, Chatach HaSamechubar. He cut vegetables that were growing in his garden. And that means that he violated Meleches Ktsira. Potur, he doesn't bring a chatos. That's called Misasek. He's totally unaware of his action. He thinks that he is lifting up his knife, and it turns out he's cutting something that's growing. Now we have case number two. And this is going to be the gigantic machlokas between Abai and Rav. Lachtoch es hatolush. His intention was to cut a vegetable that's laying on the ground of his garden. But he thinks mistakenly that this vegetable has already been harvested. He doesn't realize that it's still growing from the ground. And inadvertently, he now did ktsira by cutting something that was in fact growing. Rav Amar Potur. Rav says that this is also included under the category of Misasek. And Misasek is Potur from a carbon. Abai Omar Chayav. Rav Amar Potur, why? Da lonis kavin l'chaticha di sura. In other words, when are you a shogeg? Shogeg means when you had in mind Ktsira, that which is a violation of Shabbos. You didn't realize that it was Shabbos. You thought it was Friday or Sunday. Or alternatively, you didn't realize that Ktsira was prohibited, but you definitely had Kavana for a Ktsira of Avera. However, in this case, his Kavana was to cut up a vegetable. Imagine a man has a vegetable on his plate and he wants to eat a salad, so he cuts up the cucumber. That's not a chaticha. That's not a cutting which you could call ktsira, that you could call a chaticha a ha'asura. He thought what he was doing was just a mundane, simple, permissible action. So again, according to Rava, shogig means that he had kavanas maisa avera, just he didn't realize that it was a maisa avera. But he definitely had kavana for an avera. He's aware of the action. He knows what he's doing. It's not like someone who rolls over in his sleep and he breaks kelim. He had no awareness whatsoever of his action. Or the Gemara talks about a person who's blowing, you know, he's got some stuff in the shofar, and he's trying to clean out the shofar, and a tkiah comes out. You know, that's misasik. He didn't even have kavana for a tkiah. He had no intention of doing a tkiah. Well, the Gemara says he wanted to read a Sefer Torah because he wanted to see, he's a sofer, maybe there were some mistakes in the Sefer Torah, and he read Kriyat Shema. He happened to be up to the parish of Kriyat Shema. The Gemara says that's called misasik. He had no awareness of Kriya whatsoever. He was reading it, but not reading it. You know, he was just fixing it, but he read it out loud. Abai Omar Chayev, Abai says this is included in Shogeg. There's an action called Chaticha, which is called cutting. Did he have an intention to cut? In the first case, he did not. He was lifting up his knife. He didn't have any kavanas chaticha. That's misasik, says Abai. But here, he wanted to cut up the vegetable. All right, he didn't realize that it was still growing in the ground. Omar Rava Minoa Minala. Where do I know this from? This Sanya. Now here Abosai, until we finish this entire Brisa and we get a Raya for Rava, that's going to take a long time. That's for tomorrow. So just remember the Machloka Sabai for Rava. Rava holds that if you didn't have Kavana for Chaticha Di Surah, that's called Misaseik. And maybe that either this morning, miraculously, or more likely tomorrow, we'll figure out what does it say in this brisa that would prove Rava's theory. But for the immediate future, we're going to be trying to figure out, you know, the meaning of this brisa. The sanya we learned in the brisa: Chomer Shabbos Mishar Mitzvos v'Chomer Shar Mitzvos Mishabbos. When we make a comparison between Shabbos and other mitzvahs, and we're talking about in Shogeg and Hilchas Karban Chatos, we'll find that there's on the one hand a Chumr in Shabbos vis-a-vis all other mitzvahs, and on the other hand, we're going to find that there's a Chumr in other mitzvahs vis-a-vis Shabbos. And the Braisa analyzes. Chomer, Shabbos, Mishar, Mitzvah, Shabbos, Osa, Shtayim, Behelim, Achas, is Chayav al-Kol Achas v'Achas. If he violates both Ktsira and Trina, right? He harvests and he grinds in the same forgetfulness of Shabbos. Is he has to bring two chatos, which is called Malachos Mechalkos? Is Masha Enkin b'Shabbos, Masha Enkin b'Shar Mitzvahs? If, let's say, for example, he would eat Chelev and then eat Chelev a second time. Again, forget about Yedias Mechalkos. That's a Machlokas, a Reish Lokas, Reb Yochanan. But let's say he finds out about both the Ktsira, both the first Chelev and the second Chelev, he finds out about at the same time, is then he brings only one Karban. Now, he violated the Shabbos twice. All right, once with this Malacha, once with that Malacha, but it's all the same violation. The Torah says, Kol Malacha lo sasu v'chaleha mos yumas. But this is the Chumrah of Shabbos, that we define every malacha as a separate Isur. On the other hand, Chomer Shar Mitzvahs Mi B'Shabbos. There's a Chumrah in other mitzvahs, which doesn't apply to Shabbos. Shebishar Mitzvahs Shogag Belo Miskaven Chayov Masha Einkein B'Shabbos. And this brisa, I could just translate it, but it makes no sense. The brisa is saying that if you were a shogeg and you didn't have kavana in other averos, like chelev, then you have to bring a karban chatas. But if you violated the Shabbos and you weren't aware of it, then you're potter. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So that's the text of the brisa. We really have to memorize the brisa. Omar Mar, now the Gemara wants to take apart this brisa, and there's a Reisha and the Sefer. The Reisha is Chomer Shabbos, and the Sefer is Chomer Shar Mitzvah. So let's start with the Reisha. Chomer Shabbos Mishar Mitzvahs, Shah Shabbos Osa Shtayim Behelem Achas. If he violates twice in one forgetfulness, is Chayav Al Kol Achas V'Achas, he has to bring a separate carbon for each violation, Mashenke Bishar Mitzvahs. Hey Chidomi, what's the case? Elam, if you're going to say the way we interpreted earlier, Diavad Ktsiru Tchina, that he violates two separate malachas. Do two separate malachas, those are two separate violations. The kavase, the parallel case in Shar Mitzvahs, would be Ochal Chelev, V'Ochal Dam. He violated two different averos in one forgetfulness. You know, he wasn't aware of Chelev, he wasn't aware of Dam. New Gemara says, there's no difference, there's not a hair's breadth of a difference between the two cases. Because just like in the case of Shabbos, he's going to have to bring two karbonos, one for Ktzira and one for Tchina. So too, he's going to have to bring two karbonos chatos, one for eating chelev and the other for eating dav. So we have to come up with a different interpretation of the braisa. Elo, shar mitzvahs lo mechayv elechad echidov. What's the case where he brings only one karbon for a violation of the Torah other than Shabbos, the ochel chelev and chelev, that he violated Chalev twice, and he brings one carbon for both of them. If it was Behele Machas, is the Kavasi Gavi Shavis Avad Ktsira Uktsira? What would be if in one Helem he forgot about Shavis and he violated Ktsira twice? Is Hochachada Machaiva, Hochachada Machaiva? In this case, everybody, in both cases, whether it's Shavis or it's Shari Surim like Chalev, he only brings one Chatos. You see, the Gemara doesn't accept our logic of before that China and Ktsira are two separate violations, like Dam and Chelev. The Gemara assumes doesn't assume like we wanted to say that these are one violation of desecrating the Shabbos. No, the Gemara assumes that Chelev, that Ktsira and Tchina are two separate violations, and therefore there's no difference between Shabbos, where you chayv twice, and Dam and Chelev, where you chayv twice. Li'olam di'ovid k'tzira u'tchina. No. So the parallel in Shar Mitzvahs would be Dam and Chelev. What's the Chumra of Shabbos? Umay, and what does the Braisa mean when it says Mashenki b'Shar Mitzvahs? This phrase, Shar Mitzvahs, is not referring to Chelev or Dam, but Avodah Zarah. We're referring to the violation of idol worship, which is one of the various chiyuve kares, chiyuv misa, for which you chayv achatos if you transgress it inadvertently. Ukirabi Ami, diomer of Ami, zibach, v'kiter, v'nisach, ba'loma achas, enu chayv ela achas. There are different avodos. All right, he also mentioned shchita here. That's a discussion, but basically there are four different kinds of avodos which you, if you implement them for the sake of a deity, then you chayv misa, or kares. One of them is to slaughter an animal. The other is to burn its body on an altar. And the third is to pour the wine as libations. Anyway, he does all of this. Behele Machas. Again, what Hele Machas is, the Gemara is going to pick up immediately. But you and I would have said that just like in the case of Shabbos, if he violates Ktsira and Tchino, Behele Machas, he has to bring two chatos because each malach is a separate Maisa Vera. So too, if he does Zvicha and Aktora and Nisuch, Behele Machas, he should be chayav for each one of them. Oh, that's the Chumran Shabbos that doesn't apply in the parallel case in Avodah Zarah. In Shabbos, he's chayav two karbanos, two chatos, one for Ktsira and one for Tchina. But in Avodah Zarah, if he violated all the different forms and modes of worship of idolatry in one haloma, he brings only one chatos, and that's the chiddush of Rami Ami. The Gemara is not happy about this. B'mayu kimto, have you interpret the resha and the phrase of Shar Mitzvahs? Is Avodah Zarah. So whenever you see Shar Mitzvahs in this braisa, it means Avodah Zarah. Ema Seifa, let's read the Seifa. Chomer v'shar mitzvahs mi v'shavis, right? She v'shar mitzvahs, shogag v'lo miskaven chayov, masha enken v'shavis. That there's going to be a chiyu for shkoga in Shar Mitzvahs, which now means Avodah Zarah, that has no parallel in Shabbos. So wait a second. Let's try to figure out what exactly is the scenario of Shogag, Bishar Mitzvahs, which now means Avodah Zarah, Blomis Kam, those Hechi Domi. Let's try to figure out what is a case where a man worships an idol inadvertently, unintentionally. Ilema de Sover Besaknesesu. Apparently part of the Avodah Zorah was to bow down to the monastery, to the temple. He thinks it's a Jewish temple. You know, for this year, either you have to come from Brooklyn, New York, in order to appreciate this. I mean, unfortunately, tragically, there are neighborhoods in Brooklyn where, if you look carefully at the cross, unfortunately, I shouldn't say this because Rabbi Yitzchak Raditcher would be angry at me, but you could see underneath it the Jewish star. You know, they didn't. There used to be a synagogue. It was sold as a church. Anyway, my father fought his whole life against this. Anyway, but this guy thought that the structure that he's looking at is a Jewish house of worship, and he bows down. And little did he know that this was a monastery or some sort of temple for idolatry. So the Gemara says, in such a case, wow. Could you do me a favor, Tony, and just plug it in? Maybe you'll have to move a Gemara here, I'm sorry. Because then I'll get some juice from it. Hare libo lashamayim. The Gemara says, this is not a case where you'd bring a carbon shogeg. Carbon shogeg means that he worshipped an idol unintentionally. Here, in his mindset, he's not worshipping an idol. He's showing his respect for... you just have to move one Gemara. It's 2 inches.
I can't find it.
Here, let me do it. Excuse me, Rabbi Osai. This is important for me. Here.
Yeah, I plugged it in here.
Now, do me a favor.
No.
Because then I have to take out other things, and then I'm going to just get mistaken.
I didn't see
and
it.
And if you ever know of anybody, just tell them I don't allow it. I'm mocking. So one
they
thing
put
in
it
my
away
life,
so that the kids wouldn't play.
There's one thing I'm mocking.
They put it away so the kids wouldn't play.
Sorry, Rabbos, I apologize. Just trying to get myself organized here. So, Rabbos, what is a shogeg in Avodah Zarah? It can't be a case where a person is giving respect to a synagogue. We've got to have some sort of maisa, which is Avodah Zarah. Ella, let's try another option. The Chazi Andarta. Now, in the old days, the king would create a certain statue of an image of his face, of his body, and he expected all the citizens to bow to it. Now, why is that? Is that like, you know, I pledge allegiance to the flag, and it's really just an expression of respect for the king, and those are the laws of the country? Or no, that's a deity. The king wants you to worship this statue as if he was a human deity. And v'sagidle, a Jew bowed down to this andarta, to this statue, thinking he's just doing his duty, you know, he's a respectful citizen. Hechi dami, either kibla le beloa, if he realized that this was a deity, and he bowed down to accept it as such, as he did it as an act of deference to an idol, is mezidu. That's not a shogeg. He doesn't bring a chatos. Chatos is for a shogeg, not for a mezid. V'ida lo kibla le keloha. In other words, if he thought that this was just an act of deference for the king, and he had no interest in worshiping it, is lav kluva. Once again, it's like the case of somebody who bows to what he thinks is a synagogue. That's not a avodah zarah. Elo, but rather me ava miyira. So today we're going to focus on Yira. We're going to leave out Ava for the time being. What's Yira? Yira means that the guy puts a gun to his head and says, you worship this idol, or that's kaput. And in this case, the halacha says that he's not allowed to capitulate. He's not allowed to worship the idol, even if it means that he has to sacrifice his life. It's one of the big three, and it's called Yeharig Val Yavar. Oh, so now, does he bring a carbon? Ha'anichal Abai Diomer Chayav. Abai says in this case, he has to bring a karbon chatos. Why? Because since the Torah tells him in this case that he's not allowed to violate this avera, he may in his mind think, oh, v'chayva him, the Torah doesn't want me to give up my life. That's a shogeg. You know, maybe we won't put him to death for it, I don't know. But certainly, according to Abaye, he's chayav a karbon chatas. So we now have a mechanism that will fit into this brisa and explain if we hold like Abaye, because we now have a case of a shogeg in Avodah Zarah. El Rava di Omar Potur, Maikal Meimar. We have a problem according to Rava. Rava holds that although the Torah says that you have to give up your life rather than violate Avodah Zarah under this duress, but nevertheless, that's not considered Avodah Zarah. You're liable for Chil Hashem, for non-fulfillment of an Ikdashti B'toch B'nei Yisrael. You didn't step up to the plate and give up your life as you were required to do. But to say that you violated Avodah Zarah, I mean, you had no intention of accepting this idol as a deity. That's not Avodah Zarah. Ella says the Gemara, Be Omer Mutar. The only case we could come up with in Avodah Zarah is a person who says that you're allowed to worship an idol. Again, it's pretty mind-boggling that a Jew would believe that you're allowed to worship an idol, but then again, you remember the case where we had of a Jew who thinks that there's no entity of Shabbos. He's a Tinok Shenishba, or he was a Gersh in his Gayaviv in his Gadol Ben Ha'akum. So we have a case of a Jew who simply is unaware of the violation of Avodah Zarah, as mind-boggling as that sounds. And in this case, he's going to bring a chatos, even according to Rava. So we finally discovered what is the case that the Bryce has in mind, where in Avodah Zarah, you'd be chayav a chatos. So the Gemara says, we're still not out in the clear, because what does the Bryce say? Masha'en came to Shabbos. Let's contrast this to Shabbos, where he would not be chayav a carbon. This is the chumrah of Shara Averis, i.e. of Avodah Zarah, vis-a-vis Shabbos. Gemara says, "De potel legamrei." This Jew was brought up in a monastery. He never heard about Shabbos, and he violates the Shabbos. So what? He doesn't have to bring a korban? Ad kan lo boy minei Rav Hamir Rav Nachman. Rav had an inquiry. He was mistapik in front of Rav Nachman. Ela ilchiyuve chadi lchiyuve tarte. When a person violated many, many Shabbosos because he didn't know and he didn't learn and he wasn't aware of the entity of Shabbos, does he bring multiple Korbanos v'id Shabbos? Or does he get away with one Chiyuv Chatos, but Aval Mifta Legamri Lo? Nobody would say that he's completely off the hook and he doesn't bring any Korban Chatos. Certainly, we're holding that at the very least, he has to bring one Korban Chatos for violating multiple Shabbosos because he didn't know about the entity of Shabbos. And this, you may recall, was a machlokas at the beginning of this Periklal Gadol between Rav and Shmuel on the one hand and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish on the other hand. Our sugya here reflects Rav and Shmuel that Enochinami, even if he never was aware of the entity of Shabbos, like this case of someone who was never aware of the violation of the prohibition against Avodah Zarah, he brings a Korban Chatos, albeit one Korban Chatos. And therefore, we are in the dark. We don't have a clue as to how to explain the Braisa, that the Braisa says that there's a Chumrah in Avodah Zarah, because we're saying now that Shaar Mitzvos means Avodah Zarah, that has no parallel in Shabbos. Elalav on the top of Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph, which is tomorrow's Daf. We'll get just a head start with two lines. The Gemara says, Reisha b'avodas kol chavim v'seifa b'shar mitzvahs. That we have to split the Braisa into two, which is not, you know, our very perfect way of learning a Braisa. The Reisha of the Braisa is referring to a contrast between Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, and that's based on the principle of Rav Ami, that if you violate Avodah Zarah multiple times in multiple different methods of idolatry, you still only bring one Karban Chatas, whereas in Shabbos, there's a Chumrah that if you violate the Shabbos and desecrate it with different Molochos, you bring a Chatas for each separate Molocha. But the Seifa is not contrasting Avodah Zarah and Shabbos, and the word Shar Mitzvos does not refer to Avodah Zarah. And the reason for that is because in the case of Avodah Zarah, where he's a shogeg, and the only shogeg in Avodah Zarah is someone who didn't know about the entity of Avodah Zarah, the prohibition of Avodah Zarah, the same Chiyuv Chatos would apply in Shabbos if he doesn't know about the entity of Shabbos. So where's the Chumrah of Shar Mitzvahs vis-a-vis Shabbos? And here's where Rava, we swing all the way back, is going to bring a proof to his definition of Misasek. Let's just go over, as we end the Shia, Rava's definition of Misasek is that in a case where he thought what he was cutting was detached, and he cut a vegetable that was, in truth, it was growing, says Rava, he's potter from a carbon. And that's a unique halacha in Shabbos. So, for example, in the case of Chelev and Shuman, if he thinks that what he's eating is Shuman, and it turns out to be Chelev, he's going to bring a carbon chatas. In the case of Shabbos, where he thinks that what he's doing is cutting something that's already talush, and it turns out to be mechubar, he's potter from a karban chatas, according to Rava. Hence, this brisa, as we'll see tomorrow in the finale, is a raya for the shita of Rava. That Rava holds that if he was niskavein lachtoch es hatolush vechotach es hamechubar, he's potter from a karban, he's called misasik, and that's a unique halacha in Shabbos that does not have a parallel ptur, an exemption, in Shar Mitzvos.
Why would Rava want to make it such a distinction?
I'll tell you why. Because I'm not sure which direction you're going, but let's take your question in two different directions. If you're asking me why in Shabbos he should be potur,
yes,
I understand that very well. Why? Because that's not a shogeg. A shogeg means I'm doing an action which the Torah says is a violation. I'm not aware of the fact that it's a violation. For that, I have to bring a carbon. But if I'm not, if I'm involved in an action which is not, again, given all the ideas, all the knowledge that I have, is not a violation. I'm just cutting up a vegetable. That's not a violation at all. Well, your classic case of shogeg is where he's aware of the fact that he's doing what he's doing. You know, he's not missing what we call yedias hachefta. He's not unaware of the object. He knows the object. He knows the maisa. He has all the. He doesn't know that it's prohibited. That's called the shogeg. But if he's not aware of his action, in his mind, he's cutting up something that's already, you know, a vegetable for a salad. The other question, I think, is even more pressing. Why, in the case of Chelev, is he chayev? He thinks he's eating shuman. He has no clue that what he's eating is Chelev. He doesn't have yedias achefta. If he doesn't have yedias achefta, according to Rava, that should be misasek. So that's what we're going to see tomorrow. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. That's called shekein nena. There's some concept called hanoas haguf, that if you get physical pleasure from something, then you're chayev even in a case of misasek. Again, that's a breakthrough shita that we're going to learn in the sugya in Mirza Hashem tomorrow. Okay, then?
Thank you.
Okay, so I wish everyone a great day. And sorry for some of the various, technical problems here. We had to,